The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Children were brought to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After he placed his hands on them, he went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the second time in a few days, Jesus stresses for us that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are spiritually childlike. Yesterday, if we didn't have the solemnity of the Assumption of Our Lady into heaven, the Gospel reading would have been that interrogation that the scribes and the Pharisees gave to Jesus about marriage. What are the conditions in which we can divorce others? Moses gave us the permission. What do you say? And then even after Jesus gave that description and then went on to talk about the eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, those who live chaste celibacy for the sake of bringing God's kingdom, the apostles began to interrogate Jesus. If this is the truth, what good is it to marry? What about all the rest of these questions? And immediately after, with a divine drama, children are brought to Jesus. It was a contrast to the other verbs. The Pharisees approached Jesus. The apostles went up to Jesus. All active verbs. Children were brought to Jesus. There was already built in a docility there that we're all supposed to emulate. To allow ourselves to be brought, no one can come to the Lord except if the Father draw him. To recognize that simplicity of children, the humility of children, the trust in children, the automatic sort of love for Jesus, who let Jesus touch all over themselves. A lot of the times we won't allow that when we get a little bit older. So Jesus is calling us today, first, to allow ourselves to be brought to him with the simplicity of children, wondering, always wanting to learn, never being a know-it-all, not thinking that we've got it figured on out, but to allow ourselves to be brought to him. And then second, to allow other children to be brought to him. Today we celebrate St. Stephen of Hungary. He converted as a prince to Christianity. And then when he assumed the throne, he wanted to bring his entire nation to the Lord. All those sons and daughters of whatever age that had been trusted to his solicitude, he wanted to bring them to the Lord. In order to do that, in the Hungary of his time, wasn't easy. Everybody was shacking up with everybody else. He had to say, "Listen, everyone, if you're not a priest or religious, is going to get married. You're going to make a commitment to each other." He started to bring in the monasteries in order to try to convert the people, to propose to them the faith so that they might freely live by it. And he cared very much for the religious education of his own children. Most of his kids, unfortunately, died when they were very young. But one of his sons was canonized with him. And he's written beautiful letters to that son, which are still preserved today, called his admonitions. Anticipating that his son would succeed him on the throne, he was giving him all the principles, and he said, "The number one principle that rules our kingdom is faith. Second principle is God founded the church, and we must always remain united in the church." And then he started to give him various prudential moral principles by which he was always to judge. He was to have a special favoritism to the poor and the needy. He was supposed to welcome everyone like a father would welcome a son or a daughter. That he wasn't to allow the handlers, kind of like the apostles in today's gospel, wanting to prevent Jesus from being bombarded by the kids after a very long day, all the rest of it. For some strange reason, parents still do that a lot. I've never quite figured it out. They're always trying to prevent kids from coming up and grabbing onto some adult's legs. But at least for me, I don't mind that. Right when the little children come on up. But what St. Stephen wanted very much to try to do was to allow all the children of whatever generation to come to the Lord, and so many of them have. And Hungary has kept its Christian faith for the last 1,000 years since St. Stephen was doing his work. None of us is going to be a king or a queen. But each of us has a responsibility to try not just to allow people to approach Jesus, not to get in the way, not to be an obstacle, but also actively to create the conditions of bringing people into the Lord's presence, because they'll go to the Lord like magnets. Today's first reading from the prophet Ezekiel teaches us something else very important about the relationship between generations. Each generation is supposed to set a good example for the next generation. But the example of the previous generation, good or bad, doesn't determine that subsequent generation. As Pope Benedict would say a few years ago in his beautiful encyclical on Christian Hope, Spe Salvi, that every generation must, in a sense, renew itself freely by making its own choices. We can't inherit grace, and in a sense, we can't inherit disgrace. That's all personal. And so in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, what do you have? Ezekiel is speaking to a whole bunch of people in exile. They're all going like this to their previous generations for all of their sins that led them to be brought into exile. So Ezekiel wants to speak to that, basically saying, there are some consequences of the actions of previous generations, but God's not going to hold us guilty for the sins of previous generations, even though we're suffering on account of their sins. But we now have to look at our own actions and make sure they're aligned with the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, what's the meaning of this proverb? Fathers have eaten green grapes, thus the children's teeth are on edge. If the parents eat bitter grapes, the subsequent generations bear the bad taste in their mouth. That was what the aphorism meant. And there's a sense that Ezekiel, for God, was saying that that's true. They will have a bad taste, but they're not responsible for that bad taste, is what Ezekiel will go on to say. That every generation has to respond to the opportunity to come close to the Lord without trying to pass the buck of responsibility to another. All lives are mine, he said. The life of the Father is like the life of the Son. Both are mine. And only the one who sins will die. Then he says, if a man is virtuous but the son isn't, the son will bear responsibility for his sins, not the dad. If the dad's a scoundrel but the son turns it around, the son won't die, though the dad will. And then he goes on in a passage that we don't have today. We have it during the Lenten season, in which God says, but if a man is wicked and he converts from his wicked ways, he'll be saved. But even if a man is good and he converts from his good ways to bad ways, he'll be held accountable. And then everybody said, how unfair is that? I've lived 90 years a good life and I just mess it up at the end. Why should I be held responsible? And on the flip side, this person's been a loser his entire existence and flips it around at the end like the good thief on the cross did? What's fair about that? And God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel saying, you're accusing me of having my ways unfair. It's your ways unfair. And he reemphasizes that if a wicked man turns, he'll be saved, because that's the Lord's will. It's not that anyone should die, but everyone convert to him and live. What are the moral upshots with regard to St. Stephen's feast in today's gospel? That one of the greatest inheritances we can bequeath to the future generation, to the generations that come after us, is the example of conversion. Conversion that continues, of people constantly trying to turn with the Lord. So that no matter what they have gone through up until this time, whether they've lived like St. Stephen's son, a tremendously holy life, or whether they've lived as a bunch of scoundrels, they, seeing that conversion, might turn to the Lord anew and come to the Lord and live. Let the little children come to me. Today, the Lord has brought us here, wants us to be like little children as we enter into a communion with the eternal Son of God. Through the intercession of St. Stephen, May we keep turning with the Lord this day, living lives more and more in converted communion with Him, so that all the generations, those before us, those after us, and those who are contemporaries, might see this witness, learn that example, and come to the Lord and live.